Everybody, I'd like to welcome y'all back to Sync Music Mondays. Every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we talk about financial literacy for your music, tapping into your higher self. And as always, man, we want to shout out all the listeners presently charting in Ghana, Nigeria, Belize, London, Paris. Shout out to all of y'all. Shout out to all the musicians on a global basis that tap in with us every week. We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for listening. And as always, we're going to start off with the word of the day. Something motivational, inspirational for you to tap in. And here's what we got for today's word of the day. Let's pull it up here. And today's word of the day goes like this. I mean, it's rather deep, I think. It says, stop overplaying your role. Deal with people how they deal with you. Hardly, barely, and accordingly. I'll say that again. Stop overplaying your role. Deal with people how they deal with you, hardly, barely, and accordingly. I mean, essentially, in a nutshell, what that basically is telling you is that in life, you got a lot of people that come and go. Some people are for you. Some people might act like they're for you, but they're really not. They can be kind of combative at times. So I think the reality of it all, at the end of the day, just stop overplaying your role. You know, be there for people as they are for you. Pour into those people that pour into you. The others, just let them be. And that is the word of the day. But for today, we got a special, dope, dynamic guest. She's a boss. She's a businesswoman. She handles her business, you know, and she's going to be here today just dropping a lot of gems. So I advise all of you before we get started, take out your pads, your pens, y'all can level up. It is no other than Keishan Rowe. What's up, Keishan?
What's going on?
Man, everything's great. We alive and blessed.
That's good. I'm excited to be here. Like, I love what you're doing on the platform, and I'm excited that you extended the invitation for me to come on. So I'm ready.
Yes. Well, we excited to have you on, Keishan, and you know, we talk about like financial literacy for musicians, like mm-hmm. the business side, the music side, but. You know, this is a first because we never had someone on to talk about the tax side, because we all know that, you know, no matter who you are, whether you got a regular 9-to-5, whether you're a businessman, doctor, lawyer, musician, you mm-hmm. gotta file them taxes at the end of the year.
That's right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So this is a dope episode because you're an expert at that. And, you know, we'll get into like, you know, different dynamics with taxes, things that musicians should be doing. Maybe they shouldn't be doing in order to just leverage that to their best ability. So, you know, I kind of gave like a brief overview, but can you tell the people in your own words who is Keishan Rowe?
Okay, I love that question. I would say who am I? At the core of who I am somebody who really wants to see people who look like me succeed, right? And so I come from a Caribbean background. I tell this story all the time of when my father came to America. He came here with one blue suitcase, and he had an objective to not go back to his country because he wanted to make a better life for himself here. So he's from Jamaica. And so his objective was to come here, get his whole life together, and by way of getting his life together, be financially equipped to take care of his family. And so he started me off with the fundamentals of savings, you know, budgeting, living within my means. And that was what catapulted me into who I am today. So by profession, I'm a tax strategist. I'm an accountant. I'm also a financial coach. I started off my profession at KPMG, which is one of the big four accounting firms. So I went to college for accounting, graduated with accounting, and started off my accounting career in one of the big four accounting firms. And so it was great because I got an opportunity to do what it is that I loved, which was dealing with numbers. So tax returns wasn't really something that I knew too much about until I got into the profession, but I always had a love and desire for money. And so, and not just, you know, spending it, but also being a good steward of what God had entrusted me with. So fast forward, worked in the field of accounting for now about 20 years, and I've been an entrepreneur for about 3 years. But one of the greatest things that I can say about who I am is I want people to succeed, right? So I took all of my years of working in corporate America, and now I package it to people just like you, people that are listening on the podcast. I package it in such a way so that they can still get stellar, you know, accounting services and not have to pay, you know, corporate America price tags, right? And so, again, I take what it is that I know, I make a little magic, sprinkle my little, you know, tax dust on it, you know, if I will, to really get people in a position where they're killing it. I think for people like us, right, we do amazingly well at starting businesses. Like, if we look at statistics, we are the number one group that is, you know, thriving in that space. But what happens is we don't know the tax side of things, or we don't know how to manage the business. So as soon as we get that money, we lose it very quickly because of not having good management skills with our money. People don't realize how you show up in your personal finances is how you're gonna show up in your business. So if your business, your financial or personal affairs are not in order, guess what? That's gonna segue and spill over into what it is that you do in your business. So my responsibility is like, I'm like a, I won't say like a savior, because you know that's who God is. But what I love to do is really get my clients and anybody I come in contact with really getting their finances in order. Because I don't want you to just look good. I don't want the music just to sound good, but I want you to be in a position where when you do get ready to retire, you're leveraging off of the money that you have saved and not, you know, starting a GoFundMe. No shade to people who do that, but that's not the narrative that I want us to have, right?
That's fire. That is fire. And everything you said is like on point because, yeah, you know, I think a lot of times people are more concerned with what they appear to be than what they really are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember growing up in South Jamaica, Queens, and, you know, we had Baisley projects. We had all these different housing projects. And it's like, in front of the projects, you would see the most flyest cars you ever seen in your life. You know, you got Porsche, Range Rover, Bentley, Mercedes, BMW, coupes, all these beautiful houses. I mean, you know, cars, but they living in the projects. You know what I'm saying? And no shade to the projects, but it's just at the end of the day is that, you know, when we talk about financial literacy and we talk about bettering ourselves, like you said, you know, it's like you want to actually be wealthy. You actually want to make sound financial decisions. And it starts with knowledge, you know, like that's a lot of people don't have that knowledge, so they suffer. So, you know, this is fire. You know, I want to ask you a question because a lot of musicians ask us this question. They start businesses, but they don't know what type of business to start. So a lot of people will say, all right, you should start a business, but nobody educates you on what type of business. So could you break down the difference between a corporation, a LLC, and an S corporation? Like, what are the differences between those three businesses?
I think that's an amazing question, right? And I'm glad that you started off the conversation with really tapping into that, right? So off the jump, the IRS considers you to have a business anytime you are in the intent of making income. And you and I talked about this already, right? So it's like if your business, if you're in the space of generating income, wanting to make income, the IRS already considers you to have a business, regardless of if you set up an LLC, a corporation, or an S corp. Right? So now let's say you now are operating, having this business, and you want to legally start protecting yourself in such a way to now set up an LLC. So that's pretty much what normal people always tap into is setting up an LLC, which is a limited liability company, right? And so again, like I said before, you can have a business and it not be, you know, registered with the state, but it's always beneficial for you to do that. Just in the event that somebody says, you know what, I want to sue you. You know what? They can't sue me, Keishan. They can sue Legacy Consulting Services because that's the business name. So that's why it's important to set up an an LLC, right? And so whenever you have a business, you set it up first. You could set it up as an LLC, but the main reason why people do that is for the protection. Again, so in case somebody sues you, they're not coming after you, they're coming after the business, right? Now, when you become incorporated or you decide to register your business with your respective states, there's two ways that you can go about it. One, you could set it up as an LLC, which means that if you're the only owner, you're a single member LLC, that means I'm the only person that owns that business. Now, if you decide to set it up as an Inc., you can also do that, that you'll be considered as a corporation. At the end of the day, you still have a business. It's just the way that you're going to be taxed, right? So that's the tail end, right? People are incorporating businesses. You can incorporate your business, but then the tax qualification is what designates you as a corporation or an S-corp, right? So let me break it down even further. When you become an LLC or you become an INC, you are going to let the IRS know how you're going to be taxed, right? And so now if you are an INC, which is an Inc., that means your tax returns typically are filed separate and apart from your individual tax return. So most people who are single member LLCs, and like I mentioned, limited liability companies, they file all of their information on their individual tax return. So their business is still a business, but they don't have to file a completely different business tax return. So when you become INC, your tax returns are due April 15th. Now, I don't advise clients to become INCs or corporations from a tax perspective because there's something known as double taxation. So what that means is if you file an 1120 and your business, you made the tax designation with the IRS, because again, whenever you incorporate your business, you're typically an LLC, but then you have to make an election to be treated as either a corporation or an S-corp. So a lot of people think that as soon as I form my business, I'm an S-corp. No, you're just a single member LLC if you're the only member, and then you make a tax designation to pick up which how you're going to be taxed. So if you are a company that is taxed as a C corporation, which I mentioned INC, then your tax returns are due April 15th and you're gonna be hit with double taxation. So that means your business is gonna be taxed at whatever tax rate it's gonna be. Typically it starts at 20-21%, right? And then let's say you decide to take distributions from that company, then you're gonna be also taxed when that money flows into your individual tax return. So that's why they say double taxation. So never set up your business as a C corporation, because one, you're going to be hit with double taxation, and two, typically people who are INCs or C corporations, they are normally looking for outside investors. So for example, Apple company, Apple products is a corporation. So they look for investors, right? So that's why it's beneficial for them, because they are a publicly traded company. It makes sense for them to be that designation. For someone like you and I, or a small business owner, or even if you're making $1 million in your business, if you're not strategically looking to get investors in the beginning phases, you want to just keep your classification as an S corp or as just an LLC. But this is the flip side. I encourage my clients when they are making gross profit. So gross profit is when your business nets to a particular number. If your business made $100,000 and you spent $60,000, the net profit of your business is $40,000. I typically encourage my clients when they are profiting in their business more than $50,000, and in some instances I may say $40,000, it would make sense for you to convert your business to an S-corp, right? So I know it's kind of a lot that I just said, but the long and short of it is if your business, if you incorporate your business as an LLC, it is in your best interest to consult with an accountant that can point you in the right direction. Because if you get your business formed on LegalZoom, they're not going to provide you with any tax information. Mm. And I feel like we do a lot of disservice to ourselves when setting up our businesses and not having conversations with our accountants. Because a good accountant is going to tell you, don't set it up this way, set it up this other way, because it's more advantageous for you.
That's a major key. That's a major key, because, you know, I know a couple of people, you know, they said to me, like, yo, Kay, you know, I went to LegalZoom, $300, man, I'm straight. And it's like, okay, that, you know, sometimes when things seem too easy, that's because they are too easy and there's something lacking. Because a couple of them, they come back to me and they say, yo, you realize that they didn't put the publication in the newspaper for my company? And I'm like, yeah, like a lot of things fall through the cracks, you know, because, yeah, it sounds good at face value. Like, oh, yeah, $300. But there's a lot of things that need to be done in terms of like steps to be taken to file a corporation properly. So like you said, that's a major key. I advise all musicians out there, you know, don't try to get things done the cheap and easy way.
Yes.
Try to get them done the correct and professional way, because you're setting the tone for the rest of your business. You know what I'm saying? Like that's important. So yeah, that's a major key that you dropped right there. Major key.
And what you said is absolutely correct, right? People like to take the less expensive route. And you know, some things you can nickel and dime, but there's certain things that you shouldn't do that with. Your finances and your health, right? Those things and getting legal advice. Those areas you don't need to play with, right? We can even take it a step further. If you are spending a ton of money on getting your hair done, buying outfits, then you could take that same money and pour into your business. And the benefit about that is you get to write it off. People don't realize anytime you're consulting with your accountant, you know, or an attorney or a business coach or whoever, you get to write that off in your business because it's an expense. So don't play yourself and try to take the easy way out, because you're just going to put your business in a worse position in some instances.
Yeah, that's a major key. Major key. I wanted to ask you this too, Keishen. In terms of like things that artists can do to minimize the tax hit that they take on a yearly basis, like what are some of those things? Like, I, you know, full disclosure, I had like a, you know, 1 year, like, you know, I think maybe like 2 years ago, I had like an amazing year musically, and you know, everything comes as 1099, so there weren't enough taxes being taken out, obviously. So I owe that year like probably like $30,000, you know, to the IRS. So like, in your professional opinion, like what are some things that musicians can do, you know, before tax time, like in preparation, just to make sure that they're mitigating some of those, you know, those hits that they could take possibly if not enough, you know, taxes are coming out annually?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is to meet with your accountant throughout the year, right? There's some things, once you start making, you know, $20,000, $30,000 from 1099 income, or even $10,000, it's time for you to engage in a conversation, not with your accountant at H&R Block. Again, no shade to them, but you shouldn't be having a conversation with your accountant only at April 15th, because you're playing yourself again. So what you need to do is engage in those conversations throughout the year. And you and I, again, you and I, we have talked about turning your everyday lifestyle into a tax deduction, right? And so what that looks like is every time you do something, you go on vacation. I talk about it all the time. Last year I went to St. Lucia for my birthday, tax write-off through my business. This year I went to St. Martin's for my birthday. That's a tax write-off in my business. But it's because I know how to turn my everyday lifestyle into a tax deduction. And everybody can do that. It's just knowing the tax code and knowing, changing the facts so you can reduce your tax, right? I'm about to start rapping.
Drop them bars.
But seriously, like legit changing the facts of your situation to change the tax, you know, by turning your everyday lifestyle into a tax deduction. But even better than that is making estimated payments throughout the year so that you're not getting hit so heavily, right? And so even if you make the estimated taxes throughout the year, taking deductions like, you know, meals, being able to, anytime you go out, 9 times out of 10, when you are going out and you're engaged, especially if you're having conversation with people who are in the same space as you, you're going to be talking about music. You're going to be talking about your business. Those are tax deductions. All you have to do is keep a copy of the receipt. You can upload it to QuickBooks if you use it, take a picture of your phone, and just write on the back of it who was at the meeting and what you talked about. Easy. You can write that off on your tax return. You know, travel. Let's say, you know, as a musician, you're going to go see other musicians perform or network, right? Anytime you go support somebody in the same industry that you're in, that's a tax write-off. So you not only get to, you know, write off, you know, let's say you had to pay admission to get in, and you get to write that off, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's a form of you networking, you're engaging, you're 9 times out of 10 are going to be talking about what it is that you do, mm-hmm. right? You driving there, your vehicle is a tax write-off, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you go there and you buy a fresh outfit, but then you decide to put your business logo on the back or somewhere visibly stitched so people know. Let's say you buy a pair of Uptowns and you put your logo on your sneakers, you get to write that off 100%. So you not only get to write off the sneakers, but you get to write off the logo that you had to get to have it placed on there. And let's say it was an outfit. If you need to get your outfit dry cleaned, you get to write that off because you're a walking advertisement for your business. Even a hat. If you buy a fitted and you get your logo on the hat, that's a business deduction, right? So when people start to realize that, again, your lifestyle, you're a walking advertisement for your business, you start to move differently when it comes to how you're going to reduce your tax liability. So if I was to engage in a conversation with a musician from the beginning, my main objective is to talk to them about how they can turn their lifestyle into a tax deduction. And also set them up in such a way where they're aggressively putting money aside for taxes. So sometimes the rule of thumb is to put away like 20% of your income away for taxes, just in case. But when we get ready, when our team prepares their tax returns, we always try to write down as much as possible. We're aggressive when using the tax code, because the thing is, if you're not privy to what you can do, you're not going to do it. Some accountants are not. Sometimes you would think like some accountants are working for the IRS because they're not working on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Like when I talk to my clients, I'm talking to them in such a way that I am aggressively working on their behalf, because the tax code is in your favor. The tax code, unfortunately, is not created for W-2 employees. Mm-hmm. They're created for business owners. That's why you get all of these tax incentives.
Absolutely. That's a major key. That's a major key. And the thing is, too, is like you said, you know, and I'll spin it. Your network is your net worth, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about H&R Block, and like you said, no shade to them, but when you're a musician, when you're a business owner, you're a boss. And, you know, you got to adapt that boss mentality across the board with everything. Like, you can't go to these average tax people, because I remember when I first started, when I got my first record deal years ago. And, you know, I went to just a regular tax guy. You know, he was just super scary, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, I made like, you know, $200,000, and, you know, like, what can I write off? Oh, no, we could get in trouble for that. I'm like, what is happening? Like, you know, and it's like, and you're not doing anything shady. You're doing what you're entitled to. Because exactly. Like you said, you know, the tax codes, they are in favor of businesses. Why? Because government wants to support business, because businesses drawing money to the economy. So they want to give you benefits and incentives. So if you're a business owner and you're not able to take advantage of the incentives, then you're hustling backwards. You know what I'm saying? And you got to align yourself with like-minded people across the board. You know, people doing your taxes that know the codes that can help you leverage that. So that's a major key. You know, that's a major key. Like being with like-minded people. If you are a musician, you're listening to this and you find every year it's the same crap. You go into the same tax person. You know, they're not giving you knowledge, because that's something you said too. That's important. Like, you know, that relationship is a relationship based on knowledge, right? You know, it's like that person should be able to educate you. Hey, why aren't you writing this off? You could leverage that. Why aren't you doing this throughout the year to help you leverage, you know, to get more income, but also minimize expenses? Like, you know, these are gems, you know?
It's very, very true. I think we have to take more ownership of what it is that we need to do to get us into a different position, to propel us to the next level, right? I think sometimes, you know, we're focused on our craft, which is great, but you need to connect with an accountant or a professional who is actively pushing you forward from a financial standpoint, right? And so I tell my clients all the time, as you scale your business from a, in this instance, from a musical standpoint, right? Let us focus on getting the numbers correct to you, right? So you don't have to worry about that. You know, and there's a cost with everything that you do, right? And so as you're continuing to make, you know, thousands of dollars in your business, you want to make sure that you are not only paying your accountant to file your tax returns, but they are working with you to create strategies for you to invest in your 401k, right? Because you're not going to be a musician forever, right? You want to set yourself up from now so that when you become 50, 60, 70 years old, you're not like trying to figure out what you're going to do next, right? It's setting yourself up in such a way now that when you get ready to retire or even before, because I'm doing things now so I don't have to wait until I'm 59 and a half or 60 to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be too old, like trying to, you know, get down with the bad knees. Like, no, I gotta do what I need to do from now, you know, and still enjoy my life. People think that, you know, taxes are the death of them, you know, and I've had clients that owe a significant amount of money. I mean, almost six figures to the IRS.
Wow.
You know, five figures to the IRS. You mentioned, you know, how much your liability is, but I have people that are owing so much, but all of that is avoidable if they engage in conversation with their accountants throughout the year, not just one time.
Absolutely. I agree with you 110%. Knowledge is power. You know, so like we said, you know, once again, all the musicians out there, make sure you equip yourself and align yourself with people that can help you elevate. That's key, like, you know, being with like-minded people. And yeah, definitely, without a doubt, without a doubt, without a doubt, without a doubt, without a doubt. Thank y'all for listening to Sync Music Mondays, music licensing in the coolest form. Tune in next week for part 2.